Hi, I'm Christine, and welcome to the 5'5 and Growing podcast, a podcast where I dig deep, do some difficult self-reflection, try to learn from my past, all the while trying to become the woman I want to be, whoever she is. I haven't figured that out yet, hence the podcast. So please join me on this new journey of discovery and hopefully growth, figuratively, of course. I'm 5'5" tall. That doesn't mean I still can't grow. Welcome back to the latest episode of the 5'5 and Growing podcast. This is Christine. How are you? Well, it is Sunday, July 3rd at 11:49 p.m. at the time of a recording. So much is going on since my last recording. This has been a really emotional time. I'm learning things about myself, feeling emotions that I've never felt before, having anxiety that I've never had before. This is all a lot, to say the least. I went back to work after my, I guess, hiatus to regroup or whatever you want to call it for my mental health breakdown. Looking back on it, it may have helped, just not in the way I thought it would, per se. I still spent a lot of time doing things for others and not doing a lot for myself, which was the point. My therapist, God bless her, we talked about asking friends for help, which I did, to a lack of success. I don't want to dwell on it, but I feel like I need to speak on it. I really did try to ask my friends to be there for me, and it really didn't work out. And I didn't ask all of them. And it's part of the problem. I think I mentioned that last episode because I am considerate. Or at least I think of other people. I know when you make a podcast about yourself where you're the only one talking about yourself, sounds like I'm a super self-indulgent, self-centered, selfish person, but that can't be farther from the truth. Another oxymoron, I don't know. Another one is when you're losing it, per se. I know some people don't like the word crazy. Having a mental breakdown for me and only me, I can't describe anyone else, for me, was a range of emotions that I had no control over. And it felt like at times, how I can liken it is being super duper drunk and like not saying things that you normally would say because the alcohol is talking, but you still remember everything. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. I think I may have mentioned it on the last episode or maybe in a journal. Things kind of run together. I think it was the last episode. Just because I can articulate my breakdown doesn't mean I'm not actually breaking down. Because we all assume an emotional breakdown is where you like lose it and you know nothing you're doing is deliberate and like you're flying off the handle and all these things. And that's, for me, not entirely true. There are moments, there are definitely moments I'm definitely gonna need more therapy. And shout out to my white lady therapist. It's only been a few sessions, but she gets it. I think part of the reason she gets it is because I can explain things, which is it's a gift and a curse, being self-aware. It's putting some stuff together or seeing it from a different perspective. That's the added bonus of therapy, besides talking to someone. I kind of gave her a breakdown of my home life, so she can better understand my frustration. Because I told her about, so my anxiety happens the worst when I'm at work. My depression is worse when I'm at home. I can't explain why. And she questioned, you know, what is your dream job? What is it, the work you do, or is it the environment? Or, and I'm like, honestly, where I work is fine. You know, I don't have any problems where I work. It's just the fact that I have to work is the issue. And it's such a conundrum for me, because I need, in order for me to be my optimal self, I actually need structure. But I don't want to work. Or I don't want to work for somebody. I don't know what I can do, but I really don't want to work for somebody. And I told her I didn't know why. And then she was like, well, have you had bad experiences at work before? And I was like, ooh, girl, yes. And she goes, well, there you go. You know, you still haven't healed from those previous experiences. So that's why, even though this one is good, you know, your body is still haven't recovered from, you know, it's basically PTSD. I don't want to lose my job, but I also don't want to work, because my emotions, my brain, it's so much to focus. Like, it's so much to focus. I don't want to screw something up or miss something because I can't, you know, I can't get the tunnel vision. You know what it's like at work for me? Here's an analogy. If you wear glasses or contacts and you go get your yearly or, you know, bi-yearly eye exam, and they have you close one eye or cover one eye, and they say number one or number two, and you're trying to figure out which one is more clear, but they both look kind of blurry, so you're just guessing. That's what it's like to work for me with my anxiety on a 10. Like, I'm looking at stuff, but nothing's clear. I can't go in depth. It's the weirdest thing. I don't want to talk to anybody. I went back to work on Friday. I think I said like 10 words besides hello and excuse me. Like, when I get to work, I don't want to be, I won't say bothered, but my brain never shuts off. And that's when they took me out of work and I was trying to explain to my boss. And she's like, I think you would be better off if you were at work, because working, you know, being at work, you have a support system in a sense, and work will take your mind off things. And I was like, no, that's not how my brain works. My brain is 1,000 different places other than this computer screen right now. I can multitask, especially when my brain is firing negative things. Oh, good Lord. The other thing the therapist said that hurt my feelings, but I know she wasn't trying to. She was like, you don't have any control and you're stuck. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. I was like, I don't have any true control at work except for the work I do. I'm kind of, I won't say at the beck and call, but I'm kind of, you know, responsible is not the right word, but, you know, my nephew and my mom depend on me in ways, in different ways, ways in which annoy me for a multitude of reasons. One, I'm not rich, so the kid constantly asking for money doesn't help. And then on the other side, taking care of a parent is not easy, especially when that parent is stubborn. And an older black lady from the South, you can't tell them nothing. They don't listen. And they always want to argue and tell you you're wrong. And that does not facilitate a positive environment. So she was like, you're stuck. Like hearing someone else say it just did something to my soul. But her sessions are helpful. The last one was only 30 minutes, so it was condensed. The first couple were an hour. I definitely could use 2-hour sessions. She told me that, I think I mentioned it last episode, I'm supposed to do more self-care things and try to work on controlling what I can control. Now, we've heard 1,000,001 athletes say that in a post-game interview or during trade talks or starting lineup talks or whatever you want to call it. That's their, you know, coach speak for, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day. It's one of those, you know, control what you can control. Basically, I'm not going to focus on X, Y, and Z because all I can do is, you know, play and practice and train, right? The business side of it isn't in my hands, so I'm not going to focus on that. It makes sense. But in my world, I don't know how to translate that at all. And one of the big questions when you lose someone by suicide, besides the obvious, why did they do this? One of the other big questions is, how do I move forward? Like how? I genuinely am asking. How do you move forward? Do you, you know, become bitter and angry with all that's happened, which you would be well within your right? Do you look inward and try to fix yourself so you don't go down that same path? Do you emulate the person that's deceased because that makes you feel more connected to them? I've tried all of these when I lost my dad and my brother. Did it help me? A little bit. But I'm still broken. More on that later. But how do you move forward? You know, when we talk about grief and we talk about loss, I think I said this previously, is we focus on, oh, they would want you to do X. When someone kills themselves, that perspective of they would want you to do this with your life doesn't hit the same because of how they ended theirs. Like, there's no good cliche that's really gonna help me. At least I don't know. At least I can't think of one. I miss my friend. I miss my friend dearly. And I think I could have helped. And I don't want to use the word saved, but I think I could have helped save him from this. I don't know. We'll never know. Unless he comes to me in a dream again, or as a corpse again. I heard on a podcast once that trauma, when we experience a trauma, there's like a switch in our brains that flips, or a nerve, you know, I don't know how to explain it as well as she did, but like our brain functions differently because it's, I won't say broken, but the way I take it, it's like missile command, where those rockets are coming down, or bombs or whatever you want to call them. And you got to either blow them up where they are before they hit the ground. I think trauma are those bombs. And when they hit the ground, they change our brains. Some for the better, some for not for the better. I guess it's all in how you handle it. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to handle this responsibly. It's not going so well. I bought books that I've read partial from. I listened to the Friend Zone podcast episode about grief. That was helpful. It was mostly just talking about their personal stories. Ironically, a lot of TV shows have popped up recently regarding suicide, or not, or someone, a character in the TV show commits suicide. So that's a different perspective. Shout out to The Bear on FX. Go watch it. It's amazing. But back to the original question, which actually ties into The Bear, is how do you move forward? So for those who have not seen The Bear, because it literally came out a week ago, a hotshot chef returns home to Chicago from New York after working in a 5-star restaurant, comes home to work at his brother's beef shop after his brother's death. And then life goes from there. And he is focusing most of his attention. No spoilers. He's trying to focus his attention on making the place better. Like, that's how he's coping. Horribly. But that's how he's coping. He's trying to move forward by making this place better. However misguided or, you know, dysfunctional that process is, he's trying. I don't have something like that tangible that I can focus on to move forward. or that literal. As it pertains to the person that's been lost. Now, one of the things I've been thinking about, my friend Greg was, he had routines and he had I won't say a system, but he did things in a certain order. And it was beautiful to see. It annoys you at first because it's so rigid, and most people don't like that. But once I got to know him, I'm like, I get it. That routine was the controlling what you can control. And I respect the hell out of that. So part of me wants to adopt that very rigid or precise, particular way of doing things. Maybe that'll help my life better, because I have a tendency to flake even on myself. I'll make a plan, I'll have an idea, but for some reason I just won't try. And that's put a pin in that. We're going to come back to that. But I can't be Greg, just like I couldn't be my brother, just like I couldn't be my dad or my aunts and uncles and grandparents that I've lost over the years. There's a part of me has come from all of them, the way they've touched my lives. But I can't be them. That's not going to bring them back. And I also can't be them because I'm not them. I'm a collection of moments and incidences and experiences and trauma that has made me who I am today. Which leads me to the routine, put a pin in it part. So my lovely friends were nice enough to let me stay at their house while they're away for the holidays. And it's been a quiet, wonderful, very chill time. I've caught up on some shows. It's been wonderful. Now, has it been as fun as I originally thought it would be? No. But it is chill, and I'll take it. One of the shows I watched, I caught up on Russian Doll. I rewatched season one just to refresh my memory, and then I just watched season two today. Season one still is perfect to me. One of the main characters, Alan, if you've never seen the show, this is gonna be spoilers. Sorry. Season one spoilers, at least. Alan is a very bad version of my friend Greg, meaning he has a very rigid set schedule routine, but Alan's on like a 10. Like, it's, you know, it's borderline OCD, if not full-on OCD. Greg wasn't that bad. I mean, he was up there, but he wasn't that bad. But he did it that way because that was what he can control. But that didn't work for him. That's what I'm afraid of. Like, I don't know if I'm an Alan or I'm a Greg. I don't know if I can make this go because, like I said earlier, I have a tendency to flake, even to myself. I brought my laptop and my iPad. I bought some Sharpies. I was going to map out this whole plan, you know, to try to get my life back on track while I was here. Nope, didn't happen. Didn't pop open the laptop once. Between the TV shows, and if you can't tell, I got a bit of a sore throat. Allergies kicking my tush here. So I didn't have the energy to sit down and really do anything. Plus, when I was watching season one of Russian Doll, holy cannolis, I forgot a lot of the show, but the overarching theme, especially with Alan's character, the dude was just, well, they both were, but they were both stuck, but stuck in opposite ways. It's hard to explain without giving away the entire show. I, even though I'm a girl, I see myself more as Alan than Nadia, who's played by Natasha Lyonne, brilliantly played. Like, they've taken their trauma and turned it two different ways. She drinks and smokes, and there's a reckless abandon that she has. And she dresses in all black, and she's that person. And he is by the book, cookie cutter, khaki pants with a crease in them, white shoes, sweater vest dude. It's weird. There's a part on season one, episode 7, where Alan comes to the light, so to speak, and he figures it out. And it's a beautiful little monologue. And I can't repeat it all. I haven't memorized it. I remember the basic line. It's, now I'm stuck with a body that's broken and a brain that wants to kill me. And when I first watched that a few years ago, like, I wept. I wept uncontrollably. 'Cause that was me. That is me. And it was like someone put the words just so perfectly. My body is broken and my brain wants to kill me. And that's true. Now, with my friend Greg, his brain eventually won. I don't want that for myself. Not anymore. What I want is to figure out how to move forward. How do I turn this pain into purpose? Do I shut out the world and, you know, focus inward? Like, I'm leaning towards that. Or do I try to do it up and live and do everything and life is short and try whatever? I don't know. Or is it both? I don't know what path, and I guess that's been a problem for most of my life, is I don't know what path to go down. I'm scared I'm going to go down the wrong path, and that fear is debilitating, so I don't go down any path. I stay where I am, and people pass by me, or what I think people are passing by me, and I'm still stuck in the same place. Resenting that place, loathing that place, but not enough to leave it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like at this point in my life, at 42, a little over 6 weeks till my birth, or 6 weeks exactly, excuse me, to my birthday, 43rd birthday, what can I do? Or how do I go forward out of this place where I'm stuck at? I won't say I don't know, but I don't have a conviction towards one way or another, and that's an issue. And that's why I'm stuck. Which, I guess, spoiler alert for season two, his grandmother, Alan's grandmother, says something to that effect. And she almost got me. She almost got me weeping on that one, too. But it was the same principle of, like, you can't be so afraid of making the wrong decision that you don't make a decision. You have to live your life free from that worry. And one of the things I was thinking about is, we all assume these life paths that people are on are a straight line. They're linear. And things seem like they come easy for them. Or they've made the right decisions to be a certain level of success, like my friends here with this house. And I'm at the crib with moms. It's a series of choices they made, people they've been around, and so on and so forth. And accepting that my life hasn't had those same opportunities is difficult. And you're trying to make a life built on a foundation that has holes in it. And I don't know how to fill those holes. Nor build, to be honest with you. How do you build a life? I mean, really, how do you build a life? There's no book on this. We know other people's experiences, but we don't, like I just said, we don't know whose path is what and what we're supposed to do, so on and so forth. So how do you create whatever life? I mean, clearly, we're all just making it up as we go along because, like I said, there's no manual. But whose life do you mimic or, you know, set as a goal or as a blueprint, so to speak? I don't know anyone in my immediate friend group / family that has been through. There's no one exactly like me that I can say, okay, I can model my life after that. You know, I have people that have lost people, obviously. But, you know, there's a special combination to my life. You know, it's one thing to lose someone and you're married and you have a spouse that you can kind of come home to and you're not alone. I don't have a spouse. So there's that. I don't have any kids, so I don't have any kids trying to cheer up mommy, or even, as much as it sucks, taking care of them and focusing on them, and that gives me a reprieve from my own stuff, which is a plus and a minus. I don't know. Because any person I try to mimic or use as a blueprint, they're missing those key factors, those key components to my makeup. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I live with my mom. my 72-year-old mom. How do you create a life? And one of my friend's moms, who I haven't seen in a long time, who has been catching up on things based off my Facebook posts, and just very simple advice, but the way she said it, and it hit differently. And she said, you know, this was the Sunday after my friend's funeral. You have to keep moving forward. Always forward. You cannot change the past. There's no use of dwelling on it. You just have to keep moving forward. But the way, she said it, it hit different. It meant more. It didn't feel like a cliche. It felt like she was really speaking to me. And whenever I hear keep moving forward, I think of Meet the Robinsons, a fantastic movie, and I meant to watch it, damn, while I was here. And I know it's after midnight by now, so I'm going to have to go to sleep soon. But that was the motto, keep moving forward. There was a whole family of scientists. And they kept making all types of inventions. And obviously, every invention was not going to work perfectly. So instead of getting mad or dwelling on the fact that it didn't work, just keep moving forward. You just keep moving forward. You keep trying your measurements and so on and so forth for your whatever you're trying to build. And you keep moving forward. I'm wondering what to do. So I told myself, tomorrow's the 4th of July. I told myself on the 5th of July, I was going to start walking after work for 30 minutes minimum. And smoothies. I was going to try to do the J.J. Smith's 10-day smoothie cleanse. Like, I feel like I need to detox my body. I also want to start yoga. I think part of the reason why I'm losing it, I think a lot of my emotions, even though I cry often, I think a lot of some of that pain is stuck in my physical body. So I need to purge. And if I do the 10-day smoothie cleanse, you know, I lose a few pounds and the birthday's coming and yada, yada, yada. That helps. I'm just really tired of feeling stuck and feeling like things don't work out for me. I want things to change substantially. And I know that it has to be gradual, but a winning lottery ticket could go so far right now. Like, I have this reoccurring fantasy where I move to a beach house or a cabin in the woods, and all I have is TV and the internet, and I cook, and I do like a whole Rocky Soviet Union training montage. Which I guess I should do. I guess that's how I move forward. I need to figure out, oh, that's what I was supposed to do this weekend. Damn. I was supposed to use this quiet time to figure out my Shopify page to get that loaded up and started. Damn. Whoopsies. I'm going to have some merch soon, so I'll be dropping a Shopify link shortly once I get that page looking the way I want it to look. But I digress. You know, you see on Instagram or Twitter or wherever you social media, like that reoccurring meme of give yourself 6 months, hide out or disappear and work out and drink whatever and do all this stuff and see how far you get in 6 months. I'm leaning towards that. I know I'd mentioned back in February, March about doing 75 hard. The hysterectomy and concussion and COVID and now my friend's death has made that. I've put that idea back on the, was on the back burner for a while, but I'm wondering if I should redo it and try to start that. Because that's the discipline, that's the structure, sort of, that I need. But, you know, it wouldn't be me if I didn't try to sabotage my thought process. Because I already am like, oh, dude, I'm not going to want to do 75 hard. That sounds hard. And can I do whatever for 6 months? Like, I'm already giving myself excuses for something I haven't even started. But I think I need to do that. You know, things get put on your spirit to do or say, and a lot of times I ignore it, especially if it's going to make me uncomfortable or confrontational. But I've wanted to cut my hair for a while now. I've also wanted to have big, bountiful, blonde curls. I don't know what to do. If I choose the short, you know, low-cut Caesar with the deep waves, I can hear my mom and, you know, other people saying something, which I don't like. But finding the time to book an appointment with a hairstylist to dye it the color Mary J. Blige blonde, I don't really want to do that either. Actually, going to the barbershop freaks me out too. Like, dude, I'm a mess. Things that make me uncomfortable really make me uncomfortable, and they really, I allow it to debilitate me. I told my therapist, like, being at home is depressing, but it's sometimes I feel tethered to it, like house arrest. And that's not good. And it's not just my home. I felt like that here. I get so wrapped up in depression and such that it just, it makes me not want to go anywhere, just hole up in here and watch TV. I need to face my fears. I can't move forward if I don't face the things I'm afraid of. I can't get over the anxiety of even just thinking about certain things if I don't even try them. like with the Shopify website, I got the product, selling hoodies in the middle of summer. I should make t-shirts too, actually. But the design of the page, I froze. I got through all the other information and loading that stuff up, but then I froze. And I'm like, oh, I'll come back to it. But I'm scared I'm going to mess it up or it's not going to be good enough. And I don't do it because I'm scared, because I'm fearful. It's quite the conundrum. And that's me. That's being me. Things don't make sense. There's no rhyme or reason. There's tons of contradictory things. And how do you overcome all that? There's a lot of therapy sessions with that. But I have to move forward. I can't change the fact that my dad is gone. I can't change the fact that my brother is gone. I can't change the fact that my friend Greg is gone. I can't change the fact that all my, or not all my, but a bunch of my aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents are gone. I can't change any of that. I can't change the past decade or even past year or two or six. I can't change any of it. I can't go back in time and redo things and replay things, or I replay things over and over in my head like I'm watching game film. But I can't change anything. The only thing I could do is try to learn something from it. What's that line from Lion King? I think it's like, you can't change the past. And Simba's like, yeah, but it hurts. And then I think it's Rafiki was like, well, with the past is two things. You either run from it or you learn something from it. I need to learn something from my past instead of dwelling on or beating myself up for things I did or didn't do and who I was or wasn't. And that's another Russian doll reference. Season 2 reference, which I'm trying not to spoil, but I can't change who raised me. I can't change who's been in my life. I can't change who's hurt me repeatedly. I can't change any of that. But what I can do is learn from it. My father had a stroke, had a bunch of strokes. His blood pressure got too high. He was gone. How can I learn from that? Don't have high blood pressure. I take high blood pressure medications. Actually, that's part of the reason that my doctor wanted me out of work. She was afraid that my panic attacks and such would raise my blood pressure so much and I stroke myself out. Now, that's still a possibility because my anxiety gets up there to the point where I have panic attacks still, but I see her point. But I need to do all that's in my power to make sure that that's not what's going to take me out, that I'm not going to have a similar fate. Same with my brother. My brother is diabetic. That's what took him out suddenly. Guess what I am? So I need to do all that in my power to not be that, to not end up like him at 42. Which I do need to get my butt in order, because my brother didn't make it past 42. He died 6 weeks. Oh, Jesus. He died 6 weeks before his 43rd birthday. That would be around now for me. Do I think my life was going to end just like his? I don't know. I don't know. But I damn sure don't want to find out. And I'm on the path to find out. Because I have high blood sugar and I'm overweight, or morbidly obese, I guess, technically. And I'm diabetic. So I need to do everything in my power to focus on physically getting my body, mind, and spirit in better shape. That's how I move forward. I would like to, it's a Twitter thread, I guess, in me. But you know how when people say, oh, you tried your best. No, most of us don't. And I think I mentioned this like some episodes ago. But we don't try our best. You know who tries their best? Athletes. Some have talent, you know, God-given abilities, and others don't. You know, you try and try and try. You're not always going to succeed a la winning the championship. But in my line of work or my life, I've never tried to be the literal best at anything. In my adult life, when I was a kid, I was kick-ass in sports. But in my adult life, you know, I do enough. I do a good job with my do enough, but I do enough. I've never given my full best effort. Shout out to my fourth grade teacher who told me that I didn't live up to my full potential. It's haunted me ever since. But it's true. And I don't know if, and I guess this is literally a story for another day, but I don't know if him putting that in my report card made me go down that path of not realizing my full potential because he had already said it. I believed it. I didn't try to prove him wrong or anything. So I don't know if that is that, or if it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I don't know. I don't know if I want to blame Mr. Yard, but I've never lived up to that. Actually, if I ever write the book I should write, that would be my title, Fourth Grade Potential. Don't steal it. Please don't steal it. But we don't try our best. We literally don't. Most days, that's not our best. Our absolute best. When people talk about, and I know this is an episode for another day, when people talk about, well, you know, you got to forgive your parents. Your parents tried the best. They did the best they could to raise you. No, the hell they didn't. They did what they knew. I'm going to speak for black people. I ain't been to too many black households where there's books about raising kids, babies. I've never gone to a house and seen what to expect when you're expecting. I'm just saying. They didn't try their best. They didn't do all that they could. They did what they could with who they were, good or bad. unfortunately. That's most parents. Now, these new parents might be on to something. It looks like they're trying. And you're not going to succeed, you know, in parenthood like you would on a basketball court, because your results come years later. But we don't try our best, is the point. And I've never lived up to my potential. One of my teachers told me I was a really good writer and I should write for a living. It touched my soul and I remember it dearly. But did that make me want to go out and write something right away? No, because I was afraid I was going to fail, or people wouldn't like it, or people wouldn't read it and think what my second grade teacher said to me a few years ago when she saw one of my very long posts on Facebook. I don't know. But I think I have a book in me and I do like to write. I don't know if I have the temperament to have an editor or someone correct or take out parts of my story. I don't know how comfortable or how well I would handle that part. And that's part of the reason why I'm scared of it. Critique. Negative reinforcement rarely yields positive gains. I think this weekend and what's transpired with my friends calling and not calling me, and me having to work through that mentally, helped a lot. And the two shows, or the two seasons of Russian Doll, mostly season one, and ironically P-Valley, they really helped me kind of open my eyes to some things. When I watch TV shows or movies, the actual plot and such, I usually try to apply it to my own life. Sometimes deliberately, sometimes subconsciously. All I know is, in these next few weeks, the rest of this month, I need to be on the ball. I need to set up a structure, a schedule, to exercise, to start yoga. I want a bowl. I think that would help. I think I need to shut down my Facebook and my Instagram. I think seeing other people live their lives while feeling like you're stuck in quicksand only makes you feel worse. So I think that's what I need to do, is disappear and really focus on not necessarily living up to my potential, but actually tapping in to my potential and facing my fears and attempting to do things and not be consumed with failure or not facing my fears. I have a long road back to normal, so to speak. And my friend's death is crushing me mentally. But I know I need to keep moving forward. I have to find a purpose. I have to turn my pain into purpose. Something good has to come out of my life for all of this. I need my Job reward for all of this I've endured. And I think, honestly, I think if I sit here and use these next few months or 6 months and really tap into that I can really keep moving forward and be the best Christine I can be.